Pat, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be here again, Fred.
I want to start off with the topic, of course, that you always get, because everyone is waiting for this to come to fruition at Spaceport America. At your conference, a NASA guest is going to discuss human spaceflight. Tell me about that.
Well, Fred, that is one of the sweet spots for Spaceport America, in that fact that they're customer, Virgin Galactic, or tenant, is focused, their main line of business is human spaceflight. And we have in our community NASA White Sands Test Facility, as I've mentioned before. They are a center of excellence supporting Johnson Space Center, who is NASA's center of excellence for human spaceflight. So anything having to do with astronauts, humans in space, is Johnson Space Center's wheelhouse. NASA White Sands Test Facility here in Las Cruces has a whole series of labs supporting humans in space. And so we need what they call ECLIS, Environmental Control and Life Support Systems, created on any vehicle that takes humans to space, just like in an airplane. You know, you have the oxygen systems, we pressurize the cabin, lights, heat, all of those things that support humans in a closed environment like an aircraft. We need the same things for humans in space. Those environmental control systems are very difficult to assure. They operate consistently and predictably, and so human spaceflight is a different business than sending a rocket up and the experiment or the satellite going to space. There's no humans, nothing living on that, so you don't have to have those very heavy systems. So what Virgin is doing, what we're doing at Spaceport America, is preparing for all of that, which is the gold standard of human space flight, is to have humans consistently, repeatedly in space, working and living in space. And that's one of the things we're pioneering here.
And very exciting to talk about. Well, another guest from NASA at your conference will discuss opportunities in the so-called low Earth orbit economy. The description says that space comprises a rapidly growing information economy with communications, remote sensing, and GPS satellites generating $300 billion in revenue a year. And this is interesting, growing at 4 to 10 times the pace of America's GDP. So this is going to be, continue to be growing as a very big business.
Yes. And in the event that you use GPS in your car or on your phone, of course, you realize that those, hope you realize that that capability is delivered to you by a constellation of satellites in low Earth orbit. And low Earth orbit is somewhere between 170 to 350 miles above the Earth. Geostationary orbit is 23,000 miles away, and that's where you get the satellites delivering your DirecTV or satellite TV. So the economy in low Earth orbit will soon include humans delivered by American spacecraft. Right now, I don't know if people know that the Russians are the ones at $450 million a year, $80 million a seat, every time an American goes to space to the International Space Station, they have to go from Russia, because when we closed the shuttle program, we realized that we couldn't sustain the operations. NASA could not sustain the operations of owning and operating the space shuttle.
But just recently, some American companies got contracts to do this.
Yes, and we got an email this morning that Boeing, there's two companies that are going to be delivering Americans to the International Space Station on American-made vehicles. Boeing has one of the contracts, and SpaceX has the other. Boeing just, we got an email this morning saying Boeing, and the head of the program, by the way, of this program at Boeing Human Spaceflight Program, is a graduate of NMSU, John Mulholland. And they just sent out a message this morning that it might slip to the first quarter of 2019, but the crew selection for the first crew for Boeing's Starliner is going to be done in the next couple of months, which is very cool.
Very exciting.
And they'll be at ISPCS, and the head of the Human Spaceflight Program at NASA, also an NMSU graduate, Kathy Leaders, who worked at NASA WISTA.
Okay. Well, I see that a guest from Lockheed will discuss traveling to Mars. I'm amazed at the interest in this topic. Recently, Gannett newspapers, including the Las Cruces Sun News, had an entire section on Mars in the newspaper. A lot of interest in this.
Yes. And so Buzz Aldrin was the author of that section. Buzz has been very clear and concise about how the United States could develop a plan. He's worked with multiple administrations, including Obama's administration, where the first space launch system was finally developed and now has been funded by Congress and will be launching the first exploration mission by 2020, I believe, and that's a Lockheed Martin program. So the space launch system has a capsule, the Orion capsule, that is meant for deep space exploration with humans, and that Exploration Mission 2, also a Lockheed Martin mission, the program manager, Paul Anderson, will be here talking about EM2. That will have crew to go beyond the moon, and the mission right now is meant to help us understand how to use the space launch system, which is more powerful than the Atlas V, which took us to the moon. This is the kind of thing the government, only the government, could do because it's so expensive. All the rest of the stuff that's being done in low Earth orbit is being done by industry. And so NASA's a customer. It's no longer owning and operating launch systems. That's a big break for the taxpayer, fortunately. And Buzz Aldrin had advocated, and now we got that email this morning, that the National Space Council, which will set the exploration and the direction for our space program in the nation, has finally been formed and will meet next week. And so the president has indicated that the three sectors of our economies, the civil space, the commercial space, and the military space communities, will be members of the council, and you will put that, I believe, on your website.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you also wanted to talk about the Community Partnership Luncheon, and the speakers for that include Spaceport America CEO Dan Hicks and a representative from Virgin Galactic.
What I've been doing in the last year is I've started working with the Borderplex 2020 Regional Strategic Planning Group. And in that regional planning group, we have a commercial space committee. And on that committee, what we are doing is reporting out to the regional members of that task force, that we are the Commercial Space Task Force, but we're reporting out to all the members in the region, and it's a binational committee, what it is we're doing in commercial space. Dan and Nick Kaczmarek, who is the director of operations at Virgin Galactic, Nick essentially is a supply chain manager. He's the guy who has put under contract multiple businesses in this area to help support Virgin Galactic at Spaceport America. And of course, Dan is the CEO of Spaceport America, and Virgin is a tenant. They work very closely together. Dan and I have been friends for a long time. Dan and I worked very early on, before Spaceport America was ever sited. Where is the spaceport going to be sited? Why is it going to be sited where it is now? Access to transportation, collaboration among the ranges, McGregor Range in El Paso, which is Fort Bliss, White Sands Missile Range, Holloman, all of this coordination with the launch, commercial launch site, is very important to our region And Dan is definitely the guy to make sure some of the rough spots that we have experienced in the past are behind us because he's so experienced.
Okay. Finally, you have some comments on the nominee for the administrator of NASA, who you say supports public-private partnerships in space.
Yes. The nominee, Jim Bridenstine, is from Oklahoma, the 1st Congressional District. Jim Bridenstine is commander in the Air National Guard. He's a pilot. And he's also was there very early on when Spaceport Oklahoma was established. So very early on, I think Oklahoma, they got licensed before Spaceport America. I think Oklahoma was second. California Spaceport was licensed first, Oklahoma second, Spaceport America third. So this is, you know, 2000, early, I think Oklahoma was 2007 or 8 that they got licensed. The thing about the community partnership luncheon is, and the reason I have the speakers there in honor of Len Sugarman, because Len Sugarman was so adamant about the need for Spaceport America as a commercial launch site, and that he knew that the network would grow. So Congressman Bridenstine has been there, as you know, very early on. He also understands the need for this commercial launch capability to send humans and material to space, and he knows that the space enterprise is critical to our national security. So he's currently serving in Congress, but he has been nominated by the president because he is the author of so many far-sighted pieces of legislation. For example, he's written the American Space Renaissance Act, and he also supported McCarthy's Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act that was passed in 2015, I believe. CSCLA is very important to this commercialization, giving NASA the authority to task Boeing, for example, to deliver crew for NASA to the International Space Station. But Boeing can also sell those seats to other people, researchers, scientists with that work for industry that want to use the International Space Station. They can also use the Boeing system called the Starliner to go to the International Space Station. It's a very different economy than it has been, and we're looking forward, and that's what ISPCS is. And if anybody wants to, I realize ISPCS is expensive to attend, but all the videos are online, and you can watch them at ispcs.com. All the videos are online, and we have kept the best record of the establishment of this industry through ISPCS since 2005. So we have a lot of history on that website, but the videos, I meant to bring you the statistics this morning, over 700,000 views for those videos.
People are hungry for information about space, that's for sure. And it's always changing. There's always new information every year that we talk in advance of your conference.
Yes. And while we are hosting the conference again, we also have an FAA Center of Excellence for Commercial Space Transportation meeting that is meeting on October 10th. The Community Partnership Luncheon is at the Farm and Ranch on October 10th, and you can come and pay at the door. It's $25. It's lunch, but the FAA meeting starts at 8 o'clock in the Hotel Encanto, and it's free. It's a technical meeting, and if you want to go, all you need to do is call my office, 646-6414-575, of course, 646-6414, and you'll put that on the calendar.
We can. Yeah. They can go. That's really great to get more information.
They just want to know if you're coming, so they have make
enough
sure.
Seats.
Yeah, and chow.
All right. Dr. Pat Hines, she directs New Mexico's Space Grant Consortium. Dr. Hines, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Fred.